Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, coming to you live and in color. Hope all is well on this November 10th. We've got an interesting show for you tonight, and a little technical difficulty. Henrietta, are you out there? I see you, but I can't. It should be right here. My terminal, my screen is a little slow today, so I'm going to have to refresh it. Anyway, just want to welcome you to the show. Had a very powerful week. Did the Economic Development Summit in for Southeast Queens, and that was a very, very successful, very interesting conversation. But we're going to start off the conversation with the declaration, as we do every week, and we'll take a look at inner peace, as well as. Economic development in general. So anyway, let's start off. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. A conversation of, about, and for those of African descent of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. So, with that, I'm still waiting for my screen to come back. And just want to welcome you to the show. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we're coming to you live every day on Sunday, every Sunday from 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. Anyway, having a little technical difficulty tonight, so just bear with me. I've got my other host that is having difficulty unmuting her mic. So as soon as I get her, get that going, we'll shift the conversation to another level. The other thing that I want to speak about is that the International Black Summit is going to Belize this year. And it's going to be, okay, where's she go? And we're going to be in Belize at the beginning of August. So, we haven't been, where were we last year? Last year we were in Ottawa. Oh, here's my buddy. Okay. Something was happening with my screen. Welcome to the show, Henrietta.
Thank you, Glenn. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I was just having a little technical, little glitch here. My screen for the switchboard was showing you, but I couldn't distinguish where the mic was and the mute and so on and so forth. So it took me a little bit to refresh. But I am doing great. I am a little bit tired. I've had a couple of big events this week. I had the Economic Development Summit this past Thursday, and then which I organized and put together and then facilitated. And then I was the MC yesterday at the Christmas Fair for Brookside Church. So that was an all-day event that started about 9. Of course, we had to be there earlier. And that went till about 3 o'clock, and then we had to break it down and clean up and whatnot. So it was a long... So I've been busy, to say the least. I've been very, very busy. But it's all good.
How did it go?
Well, went very well. We've got a listener that's got their hand up too. Hold on a second, let me make sure that they're on. 213-221, go ahead, you're live on the air.
That's our guest. Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
How are you? This is Bea Thompson.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, you asked the question, Henrietta, what was it like? Well, you know, it's like, where do I start? The first thing I want to say is that it took me, I've been working on this Economic Development Summit for almost a year. I started the conversation back in December of last year. And last year, December, I started the conversation, and it took me about 9 months to actually get a date. I went to York College, and I talked to different people, and so what the 9 months was really me enrolling other people into the conversation of having this economic development summit. That's really what it was. And what we were able to mobilize, one of the other gentlemen from Community 412 and then York College Small Business Development Center at York College, the three of us were the main folks in kind of organizing and getting together. And so what it was like was we got about 60 people in the room from parts of Southeast Queens. I had 6 panelists. We had a short presentation. We had the Small Business Development Center open up the event, and we had the 6 panelists, and we had 2 short presentations, and then we had a panel discussion about what is it going to take to create an economic development plan for Southeast Queens. So the conversation was very good. It gave folks an opportunity to speak about some of the things that they have done in the community over the years. Seemed to be the right mix of people. Everybody I talked to said that they really enjoyed themselves and got a lot of good information. And it was really a platform for us to really speak about economic development. That's interesting for me, that I didn't think was such a big deal, was that economic development isn't a conversation that's talked about a lot in general, and it's not talked a lot about in our particular communities by our people. Now, other people come in and talk about it quite a bit, but not necessarily ourselves. So it was the first of, I'm going to say, many conversations to come in terms of establishing what that's going to look like, you know, what the Economic Development Summit for Southeast Queens is going to look like, and what's the possibility of being able to create that, a master plan that's going to support all of the neighborhoods in Southeast Queens. So that gives you a sense of what it was in organizing it and facilitating it. And I think the energy was good. You know, like I said, people left. It went from 9 to 12, and we broke up. We actually ran over a little bit, and I don't think that folks got out of there till about, we ended the formal piece at 12:05, and then we went for another 10 or 15 minutes networking, and then people didn't want to leave. You know, people were just kind of hanging around, and so they were breaking down the chairs and mulling around till about quarter of one. So I don't know. I thought it was very, very successful. There's actually a listener on the line that was there as well. Let me see. She'll
hold
on board. Okay.
Glenn, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Because I was a couple of things. One is acknowledgement to you. That's major, Glenn. That's major. I was trying to figure out, like, boy, does he sound exhausted. You know, that was my first judgment. Like, oh, Glenn had a good time last night. He's exhausted, you know, or whatever. But that's major, Glenn. So acknowledgement to you, you know, accolades, everything, all of that. And you've done it. So now you can, you know, get the kinks out and look at what you've done and see how to do it again. And that's wonderful. You know, I mean, that's really, really wonderful. Our guest, who was the person, who's the person online that you opened up her mic, she so fits into what you're talking about, because one of her goals is to move to New York, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When she finishes grad school. So that's, you know, one of the nicest things. And B. Glenn, who's been sharing, he's in New York, you know. And plus, Glenn, I think when you hear her story, you'll put her in several categories, but one of the categories that I noticed about her was that she's planning her economic development. She's in the planning stage, and she's like in the first stages of her, I won't say the first stage, maybe the second stage of her career. Plans are to develop herself and her company economically. And, yeah, I mean, it's really cool. And but we'll get to that when we get into the interview. But this is wonderful, Glenn. We're going to have to do a program with the details about...
Yeah. What I was actually thinking is that what we'll do is we'll bring some of the panelists back on and actually engage them and kind of get a sense of what it was for them and what do they see as possible out of the community after the event. So we can definitely set that up for future conversations.
Did you want the person to share who was there?
Let me see. I'm going to open up their mic. They're usually kind of quiet. 718-371, go ahead. Your mic is open. You're live on the air. Comment on the Economic Development Summit that you attended at your college. Now, you might be on mute because I just opened up your mic, but we can't hear you if you're talking. Okay, I guess they might be shy, or they may be away from their phone.
They stepped away or something. Yeah, but we'll come back. We'll come back. But that's wonderful. That is really wonderful. I mean, that's something, what I heard, Glenn, was something that can occur in different cities.
Well, you know, it really is the opportunity for us to really open up a dialogue about this conversation called economic development and what can we do within our communities to stimulate our community, to have our community grow, and to really build it up. Because everybody wants to do it, but I think that the catalyst that took place at this event was the actual opportunity of people getting together to engage in the conversation. And that was fresh and new. And it was being led by us. So it wasn't some outsiders coming in dictating what needs to be done. It really was an internal conversation that we were having to motivate and to look at what do we need to do as a community. So I felt pretty empowered. We had a couple of elected officials come through. We had a state assemblyman who is the chair of the small business, small businesses committee for the state. We also had a state senator come through, and we had one of the councilmen for that area, that district, come through as well. So, we had the elected officials come through, and we had bodies of people who were connected. Some doing economic development, some are interested about doing economic development, and then some folks from the community that are interested in having the conversation exist. So it was a nice cross mix of people, like I said, the event ended up, it probably was about, I have to do the tally, I haven't even done the tally, but it looked like it was about 60 or so folks in the room inside of this conversation. So for me, that was a pretty successful event because we're looking to get about 50 or so folks. And the other thing that's interesting about this conversation is that we've never had all three community boards working together. Even though I'm part of the community board, what I was told was that I wasn't really, shouldn't be contacting other community boards. And so I had to do it inside of the protocol of the community boards because I didn't want to start off on the wrong foot. Some of the other folks have kind of circled back and said, you know, listen, you know, now you got me in the mailing list, you know, let me know what's going on and, you know, I'll participate. So, so it's very encouraging. As far as I know, it's never been done before. And we had a very bold statement called transforming Southeast Queens. You know, so that's what the flyer said. And it was a very bold pointing, you know, like they saying landmark, pointing over the fence. you're gonna hit that home run. So you point over the fence before you step into the batter's box. So it definitely was that. So I'm pretty excited about what took place. But I also understand that that was the easy part. The hard part now is to continue the conversation and to actually come up with an economic development plan for the community that both the community can buy into and the folks who are actually doing economic development are comfortable with, and then that would be a leveraging point for the elected officials. So there's a couple of different conversations that are going on that have to be integrated into it to support its fulfillment.
Great. That's really nice, really, really nice. We have to definitely hear more about it, more of the details and more of the, you know, like what came out of every session and the speakers and different things like that, you know, just really get the details of it. as we move on, this has really evolved. This inner peace and economic development conversation is really unfolding, you know. And so that's really, really good. I'm really glad to hear that. And again, congratulations on that. This
Thank
is,
you.
This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you have been listening to Glenn Greenwich, and I'm Henrietta Bird, and Glenn has been sharing with us about an event that he totally produced and directed and created inside of economic development for Queens, New York. And we are just, like, so excited about this, and you'll hear more and more, and, you know, maybe even have one of these sessions online so everybody can hear it, you know. That would really be nice. If we could develop it to that point, Glenn, that we could actually do it on a 2 or 3 hour show, you know. You heard the declaration of the International Black Summit tonight. We are, our annual event is in Belize next year, and we invite you to go to blacksummit.org and register for the annual event and join us for summit share or prerequisite in your area. And just join this conversation of the International Black Summit. The question, you know, we have a question every year. And our question this year has several questions inside of it. And it's about trigger, and it's about alignment with our authentic self and alignment with our vision. And, you know, it ask us, what do our triggers reveal to us that provide us access to our authentic self? No, are we aligned with our authentic self, and are we aligned with our vision? And so tonight we have a guest, a wonderful young lady who is aligned with her vision, and she's aligned with her authentic self. And I'll let her tell you about her vision for her life, but I just want you to know that I met this young lady through her brother. And when you talked about, Glenn, that it took you 9 months to enfold people into, you know, into the coming to this, her brother, our guest, her brother worked in a shoe store that I went into the store, and he's so aligned with his sister's vision, and he's so enfolded and enrolled into her vision that he started telling me about it as he was finding shoes for me. He asked me what I did, and I don't even know how the conversation went, but he started telling me about his sister, and that he said, oh, I'm in Chicago now, but I'm just waiting for my sister to graduate, because when she graduates, we're moving to New York, and so-and-so, so-and-so, and then he just went through the whole thing, and I'm like, looking at this guy, and I was like, really? He said, yes, and she's going to do this, and she's going to do that, and she's going to do this, and he repeated everything. So, I asked him to have his sister call me so that I could talk with her, and she did. And so I will, like, let her, you know, let you talk to her, Glenn, because she's headed in your direction. As soon as she graduates from Northwestern University, so with her, this is with a master's degree in journalism. And so I'd like for you to meet, you know, and introduce to the listeners, her name was B, and you spell it D-E-A, is it B-E-A-H?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So, Glenn, this is B, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Did you know your brother was just in love with your vision like that?
Yes, I'm actually flattered. I mean, he got some of the things a little off, but however, the fact that he would talk to, you know, a complete stranger about me, that just makes me feel really, really good. And it makes me feel like that what I want to do in life is actually going to happen, and that I do have one supporter.
Yes, you do.
Hey, it all starts with one.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's absolutely true.
One, you have that one, and then that one brings another one, and and then the two of them bring another one, and the four of them bring it, you know, and it keeps multiplying. So, I mean, it really is how life works, you know.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Right, and that's what he did, because it was he and I. First it was just him, then it was he and I. Then it was Glenn, he and I and Glenn, and now it's global, because of your story. You'll be able to go back and teach people so that they can hear it. But if you could, I guess you can't mute your phone and talk at the same time, but just so we won't hear the background noise, I was thinking if you could be in a place. But so tell us about what your vision is for your life. What your vision is, and what part of that vision are you at this time?
Okay, so my vision is to create a platform to teach our people and our community how to be frugal and plan for the future. So I don't know exactly how I'm going to do that, but I do have a few ideas. And right now I'm just in the process of just getting those ideas on paper and actually networking with people who can actually help me get to where I want to be. And I'm still in school, but I'm graduating, and I'm just looking forward to having a prosperous career. And I'm just at this point right now, I'm still in that vision stage. However, I am still planning for the future, and I'm looking forward to moving to New York and just doing what I have to do to just get to where I want to be.
Now tell me what. Go ahead, Glenn.
What area specifically are you looking to work with and to empower?
I'm in the communications right now, and I'm a double major of communication studies and journalism. And eventually I want to start my own magazine, which will be a lifestyle magazine showing people, or just having a demonstration of how to be frugal. And you could still have the things you want without doing things, going overboard and being lavish. And that's just really what I'm focused on. And I actually started with my brother because, you know, we come from L.A. and we came to Chicago, so it was like a really, really big difference, especially for him. Like, I'm 8 years older than him, so it's a little bit different. Like, he's all about being flashy and, you know, wasting his money on things that he could get at a cheaper price.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The one comment that I'm going to say, and you can take it and take a look at it, I wouldn't use the word frugal only because there's a lot of negativity associated with that. But what you're up to, I say, is the leveraging or the efficiency of your money, because you're looking to be able to get more with with less than most people do. So something in the area of leveraging or being efficient or you know, rather than, because what comes to mind for me with frugal is miserly, and you're not talking about that. You're talking about being fully abundant, fully self-sufficient, and fully having it all available and still being able to leverage what you have. So,
right.
But anyway, so you take a look at that, and you can, you know, you don't have to necessarily respond to that at this point in time. The thing that I love about what you're up to is that when we can begin to understand that there's no scarcity in life, that scarcity is a conversation that we bring to the table. And if we can leave scarcity somewhere else and not bring it to the table, then we can begin to really lavish in what's possible in terms of generating economic development for ourselves. You know, one of the powerful things about this event last Thursday for me was that there weren't a lot of outside influences inside of that conversation. So it was the community, and the community came together. And there were some folks that were, quote-unquote, part of the community or are supposed to be part of the community that attended, but this was community folks getting together, responding to this conversation called economic development. So that, for me, made it even more powerful, and I think that that's why people got excited about it. So I just wanted to kind of put that in and share that, because the truth is my vision is that we have all that we need in our community, and we need to stop going out asking people for help and for donations and for money and for this and that when we've got all that we need in the community.
I wish that was something that I could have been a part of, but unfortunately I was not in New York. The last time I was there was in September, so I wish there was something. Well, that event was going on while I was there, so I could have been a part of it.
But. Well, we're going to have some other events. I mean, as I was sharing with Henrietta and a couple other people that acknowledged me for the event, that was the easy part. That's the start of the conversation. Now what's going to have to be driven is the producing the result. You know, us working together to produce the result. And that's where the next level of challenges will be. Because the first set was getting the event to happen. And so now, you know, now we're in a different implementation mode of the plan. So the next phase of the plan is to get the inertia going and just begin to generate some results consistent with the development of a master plan. But like I said to you earlier, I mean, you got to start somewhere. And so your brother is the one person, and then you keep moving it, making it bigger and bigger and bigger from there. You know, coming to this call, coming to this talk show is also another means of making a bigger conversation. So it's all good.
Absolutely.
It's all perfect. Henrietta, I'm going to give it back to you.
Okay, Glenn, thank you. I wanted Bea to share her plan, you know, like how you got to Chicago, and you know, when we talked the other day, you were telling me about, you know, just some different things, and I'd like for you to share with the listeners, like, what you decided, you said you're a double major at Northwestern, and is this a bachelor's degree or a master's degree?
This is my bachelor's degree. I actually started out at Howard University, and I was a psychology major at first, and then I went back home and I started working in the field, and it just wasn't really working out. And so I started working for a bunch of law firms, and I was just really trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, because I felt like psychology wasn't it, because I was working at the Department of Public Social Services, and I just felt like I wasn't doing enough for, you know, the children that I was counseling. I just felt like I wasn't doing enough. And I ended up going back to school, and I checked out Northwestern's program, and I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I really want to be in the communications field, whether it's writing, producing, radio, whatever. I was just like, I want to get out of L.A., and I want to do something different. And that's how I ended up in Chicago. And I drove my car 2 days and 7 hours. And I was like, if I get in, I'm out of here, and I'm going, and I'm going to work it out. So I've been here for 3 years. I'm graduating next year. I plan on moving to New York next year as well, probably at the end of the summer. And I want to when I was in New York the last couple of months, I went to some information sessions at Columbia. And so I really want to just continue my education and see where I can go. Right now, I've just been in Chicago networking, going to school, trying to find, you know, a position, an entry-level position to get me into the field and then see where it takes me. So, but it wasn't easy. It definitely wasn't easy, but I got through it. And, you know, that was just from prayer and having a strong faith.
What are some of the challenges that you had? When you say it wasn't easy, what do you mean?
Well, some of the first challenge was that I came here, you know, really without a plan, just coming and was just like, okay, I'll work it out when I get there. And that really wasn't good. But, you know, when I first got here, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a place to live. So that was really tough. I didn't know anyone in Chicago. My brother didn't get, I've been here 3 years. My brother didn't come here until last year around this time. So I really just had to work it out on my own, because my dad was just like, you can come home. You're going through all this stuff. Why don't you just come home? But my thing was that I didn't want to give up. This is something that I worked hard to get into. Like, Northwestern is not an easy school to get into. And especially as a black female, I mean, it's not that many black people, period. So I didn't feel like me working, doing all that hard work and then just giving up just to go back home, that was just silly to me. So I worked it out. But that was my biggest challenge, was not having anyone really in my corner to support me. Like, everybody was like, okay, if there's all these adversities are going on, why don't you just come home? But to me, that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to just give up and go home. That was easy, giving up and going home. I wanted to keep going for what I came here for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you said you're working on a bachelor's degree.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
My second one, actually.
Okay. And your first one was in psychology, and this one is in communications, a double major in communications and journalism.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And it is interesting how it's all working together, because I can see where the psychology is definitely going to come in when you're working with people on, mm-hmm. on how to spend their money, you know. You definitely will need that psychology degree. You will definitely need that. But that's interesting. And then to have a magazine, you know, that's really great. I think it's a really, really great idea. And so you have one more year, and then you're headed to New York, and you're looking at Columbia when you get there. And,
yes, ma'am.
That's really great. economic development, I think you're right in the midst of that conversation because, you know, like everything, helping the people or knowing knowing that you weren't helping the people the way that they needed, that you felt that they needed assistance. And getting more education, I think, is just brilliant, you know, for you to take a look and assess and then to, you know, create a plan. Like you said, you came here without one, but you created one, and now you're working inside of that plan. And I think that's really, really great, you know, for you to do that. To bring a family member into your vision is really good. And to, because he has so much hope and inspiration that he can see for himself inside of the door, you know, and he's really excited about life because of what he's looking forward to doing, you know, and that's always good, you know, to bring someone else along on your journey. What are some of the things that you have to look forward to in this next year? Maybe some of the things you want to do before you leave Chicago. What are some of those things?
Well, some of the things I'm looking forward to in this next year is just meeting the people that I need to meet. Like, I'm really, really ready to network. Like, I've met some people and a lot of people who are on board and ready to make my dream into a reality. I'm just ready to actually work on it. And I'm really glad that my brother talked to you because I'm like, I didn't even know he felt this strong about it. Like, I was just trying to show him that, you know, just because you messed up before, like, it doesn't mean that you can't go back and fix it. And so I was just demonstrating for him, showing him a demonstration of, like, you just don't give up. Like, for me, that's what I had to do is, like, I could not give up. That was, like, my main goal was not to give up no matter what the obstacle was, that I just had to keep moving forward. So that's all I'm looking forward to is just moving forward, seeing what God has in store for me and just staying focused and keeping my faith.
Good. That's great. This is the Talk Show Network, and you've been listening to Ms. B, a student at Northwestern University in Chicago. Actually, it's in Evanston. She's working on a degree so that she can prepare herself for a career in communications. And there are a couple of people that I will a little, you know, like afterwards, give me a call tomorrow. Something, and there's an event that occurs once or twice a month with people in journalism here in Chicago, and I don't know if it's a magazine, but I know there are authors of books, and so I'm sure that they will be able to give you some direction as well. So what's it like to go to Northwestern?
I love it. I love the program that I'm in. Mm-hmm. However, it is absolutely different from where I came from. You know, like I went to all black high school. I went to all black college. So it was definitely different coming from DC to here and just being in that space. But I think it pushes you and motivates you to just work hard and do what it is that you have to do to get to where you want to be. For myself, that's how I feel. But it is definitely a different space. It's definitely different from what I was used to practically my whole life. But I think it is motivation. It is motivation to let me know that there's more out there than what I was used to. Just being in that little small circle that I've expanded.
Mhm. And you went to school in Los Angeles?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. And then you went to Howard University. That's great.
Yes, it's different.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. recommend, you know, because we always have a part of this conversation going on. Do you think it's important to attend both an HBCU as well as a private, you know, a private university like Northwestern?
I think it is because it shapes you. It prepares you for both environments, if you will. I think it shows you, you know, how you have to be, so to speak. Just having those different perspectives. I mean, I learned so much at Howard, so much, but then there was so much that I wasn't really prepared for because I wasn't used to being in that space. So I think it is important. I mean, if you do have the opportunity to do both, then I think it's very important that you should, you know. I mean, like, in the beginning, when I was 10 years ago, when I was 18, like, I didn't even think about that. You know, all I knew was, like, okay, I want to go to an HBCU, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Like, I didn't think of any other institution just because that's how I was raised. This is where I'm supposed to go. So, yes, I really enjoyed both experiences. And I feel like, you know, especially as an adult, when I meet people who are just now, you know, coming out of that space and they're like, you know, where should I go to grad school and blah, 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 it is very different. And I feel like you should experience both environments because you'll have just a different experience, a different perspective. I love it. I mean, I feel very blessed to have gone to both institutions.
Okay. Great. You don't have a website yet, do you?
No, not yet. I'm working on it. I'm not a techie at all, so
okay.
I need a lot of help in that department. So all of that stuff is in the works.
Well, no problem if who wants to get in touch with Ms. B, just contact us at blacksummit.org or Transformative Talk. You can use that email, transformativetalk@gmail.com. You can contact me there at transformativetalk@gmail.com, and I will ask you. And, you know, she's heard her vision and her interests in starting a magazine and, you know, looking into, I'm calling it, allowing planning for economic development. I don't know. I'm going to turn it back over to Glenn because he can probably give it a better than. Inside of your vision.
The thing that I'm excited about for you, Dee, is really to stay true to yourself, and you've spoken to that a couple of times, and we have an expression in the summit, a distinction, a tool we call clearing, and one of the things that I hear in your speaking is for you to continue to clear yourself, continue to clear a space so that you can actually hear what life is telling you. Because oftentimes we got so much conversation in our head and it's bouncing around, and we're not sure what thoughts are connected to what. And as a result, we don't do anything. And
mm-hmm.
so the opportunity is to create a clearing for yourself and to be able to communicate and to say what's going on with you such that you can get that out of your space so that you
mm-hmm.
can begin to see what the next steps are. So I invite
mm-hmm.
you to stay inside of the conversation at the National Black Summit and look to see what are some of the other conversations that may support you in the fulfillment of your vision. Because one of the things I got real clear is that the International Black Summit starts when you have a vision. When you
mm-hmm.
When you get clear about your vision, then you can begin to speak what it is that you want to have for the planet, and then people start lining up with that vision because their vision is inside of your vision, or your vision is inside their vision, so they become partners in playing together for the fulfillment of your vision.
Absolutely.
And their vision. Yeah. Yeah. So great work. So really, really great
Thank
work.
Thank you.
And just want to continue to support you and keep letting people know what you're up to.
Thank you,
know,
very much. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
Keep sharing it with your brother because he's going to find.
I love that he is in a space to share my vision because I didn't even know what he was up to, and I just really, really appreciate that. So you guys just got him a nice gift.
Yeah. He's really excited. But let's, you know, just for a moment, I just want to remind the listeners to go to blacksummit.org and register for the annual event next year in Belize. Let us know if you need a prerequisite or a summit share in your area. And mm-hmm. if you are interested in joining this global conversation. We're here every Sunday from 7 to 8, and we are always looking to interview people who are up to great things, as our guest is tonight, and just doing wonderful things in the black community and or for the black community or planning things. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And as we, you know, people just kind of show up in our world because we are a stand for that. And they keep showing up. There's a gentleman I went to, my friend's daughter, I went to talk to her teacher on Friday and just to be a support because my friend is working on her MBA. And so I told her, you know, if she ever needed some support, you know, to give me a call, and she did, and I ran into another wonderful teacher, African-American male, who his vision is to open a school for at-risk children, and he's got he's got a story to tell. So he's going to be one of our guests in this upcoming month also. And, Glenn, you're just going to love this guy, you know. You're just going to love what he's about and what he's up to. And just been through two or three or four and is really dedicated to children in a way that only a teacher, you know, can be dedicated. Only, you know, he's one of those teachers that you will hear about, you know, that you'll hear the students talk about. And, but just like, like you're doing, Glenn, like you're doing, B, someone did something for him in his life, and he mm-hmm. was shown how to give back. And so he's, you know, he's worked already got his master's degree. He's 26 years old, got his credentials to be, you know, an administrator on whatever level, and is working toward opening a school for at-risk children, you know. And so it's really, really interesting. I love this generation because they are doers. They're just not hearers. They're doers of what, when they talk about something, they put it into practice, and I like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be bringing more and more people to you that are doing things, doing what do they say on the radio, doing good in the hood, okay? And, yeah, and looking forward, you know, looking to what contribution they can be. You know, and again, I invite you to blacksummit.org and take a look at the declaration of the International Black Summit and just ask yourself, where am I in this declaration? You know, what am I about? What am I up to? What am I doing for my community? You know, what am I doing? And so we look forward to our shows, our upcoming shows, and we look forward to meeting and networking and finding people, you know, for B to connect with, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, Glenn, by the time you get to New York, you will know a lot of people. I guarantee you that.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
You know, and by the time, you know, before this week is over, you'll know a lot more people in Chicago. And it's just simply because you talked about it and you shared it with your brother that he was able to share it with me. And so that's why, you know, we say to people, share your vision. You know, don't hesitate. What's yours is yours. Nobody can take your idea unless you stop working on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you're working on your idea, it's you'll manifest it, you know. And so we really want to acknowledge you, B, for the work that you've done, for what you're going to do, you know.
Thank you very much.
Really, really wonderful. And, you know, looking forward to keeping up with you for the next year and you know, you coming back and giving us updates to how things are going.
Absolutely.
You know, and... like I said, I'll talk to you sometime tomorrow and give you some information for a couple of people that I know that I think might be able to open something up for you. And, you know, just really acknowledge the work that you're doing and congratulations on being a senior.
Thank you very much.
It's just been a long road.
I know.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Anything more for you, Glenn?
Just, you know, these are the conversations that we love here at the International Black Summit. And so we invite our listeners to call in and comment, as well as to suggest or to bring other folks to this conversation. Because it's really about sharing information. You know, we have held back the information for way too long, and now is an opportunity for us to share with each other the possibilities and best practices and ideas and this conversation of abundance and investing. You know, what is it to invest? Invest is to put money to grow it so that it expands.
Mm-hmm.
And you can invest something with money, with your time, with your energy. With your thoughts. So we're asking to consciously be investing in our community and what that looks like and engaging in conversations consistent with that. So, you know, that's who we are. That's what we're about here at the International Black Summit, and that's what we are as individuals in pursuit of our vision and our purpose on this planet.
Awesome.
Well, you guys have a new fan. I will definitely be in tune next week. And I've been visiting you guys' website, and I really, really just love what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, that's it for us for the night. We thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Glenn.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome.
You know, congratulations on your economic development day, you know.
Yeah.
And again, for the listeners, we'll definitely have more on that program. And if you're interested in having Glenn's program come to your city, you know, just let us know. And and we'll work it out. We will work it out. I'll tell you about my day next Sunday.
Okay.
my inner peace day this morning. So God bless everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Remember, inner peace leads to economic development, or economic development leads to inner peace. God bless.
God bless. You too. Have a great
God bless
week, you guys.
You too. Right, God bless you. And good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.